Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, welcome to part two of a discussion about Curiosity with Simon Brodkin and Kaggy Dunlop. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't describe Simon and I as like standard blokes. So we're obviously in the business of over-communicating for a living, so we're probably not like the best examples. And I've definitely evolved in the last 10, 15 years of my life to become more open. There was a real low moment where me and Lindsay were having a gathering at the house. We're still living down in Essex at this point. And I've been friends with my mate and his brother, I better not say the names, for years. Since we were kids, and the brother turned up with his wife and his two children, and I couldn't remember the name of his wife or his two children. So it wasn't my main friend. I've still known him since he was born. It's just where we've been out so many times it had gone past the point. And what actually happened was I tried to do this as stand-up, but it's sort of sitcom unbelievable, so the audience just didn't buy it. But this is actually what happened. I went upstairs to where the coats were being stored and sort of went onto my laptop, went onto Facebook, went onto my friend's page and was scrolling down to try and desperately to find pictures of the kids and wife. And that's when the fucking wife walked in with her coats. And I'm on my laptop looking at pictures of her and her children. So you got two choices. Tell the truth and look like a callous serial killer, or not say anything and look like a pedo. They were my options. And I thought, I've got to fucking start taking more interest in people as Simon says, on a less superficial level. By the way, this has been studied. Women are more curious about people. Duh. If you look within the field of psychology, females on average are more curious about people, while men are more curious about things. I hate saying that in 2022. And if you listen to this in 2042, apologies if I've been cancelled, but this is the biggest interest difference between the genders. That's if we equate interest with being curious.
And I'd say that that's a socially conditioned thing, because it's, you know, historically been very much a man's world and women have had to adapt to that structure in order to fit in, whereas men haven't had to adapt to a woman's world.
Yes, and I would agree with you, but I'm a big fan of studying people I don't agree with to try and, well, I find it healthy, like having exfoliation. I've been putting off reading this Jordan Peterson book because I was terrified that I might agree with something in it and turn into like an alt-right incel and cut my genitals off and start hating women or something. But there is quite a lot of, it has been studied. It starts quite early on with boys being more interested in mechanical, in things, and girls being more nosy about interpersonal. Now, is that a conditioning from day one? There's also been studies done behind a mirrored glass with newborn infants with their parents, and the female infants are actually held different by the parents. So that would score on.
And what about the toys that they get?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Think about, toys for boys and toys for girls. That kind of,
yes, exactly,
sets that up. And then that kind of ties into why women are, well, someone said the other day, that's why women are worse drivers. Because men get given these toys and it gives them an idea of spatial awareness.
But only they're not. Again, statistically, men have more crashes and need higher insurance. So that's just...
Oh, really? That's just not true.
They would just drive more like legends.
It's the roads that's wrong. I have a daughter and a son. And like to think of myself as fairly liberal minded. So I am, from day one, have been, you know, aware and trying to counterbalance what goes on in their lives. First of all, it's impossible to, because we already have all of the baggage that came from the people and the society. It's not just you open every single thing, you step out, every bit of marketing, every bit of everything is geared towards these two different worlds. And then ask, you know, me or Russell, oh, we like to think of ourselves as not going down the cliched man, cliched woman, we're independent, free thinking. Look at our haircuts. Every single bloke who I, 99% of them, have short hair, and 99% of women have long hair. And I know that's a bit of a trite thing to say, but it just allows you to step back from all the people who are talking about themselves being, no, we're not dragged down by what society's got to say. We totally don't see a difference. Just look at haircuts in the UK. We separate ourselves so distinctively in such an obvious way. So to state that, oh, it's 2022, these things don't exist anymore, is just piffle.
Yeah. And it's so embedded in us. It's not going to change within our lifetime. It's something that's going to take a really long time. But I would like to ask, is it true that men view vulnerability as synonymous with weakness?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's something I'm fighting against with this. But if you want a non-bullshit to the point answer, it's yes. But the trick is to realize that some weaknesses can be beautiful or good. It doesn't need to be a negative thing, because I find things like from failure comes success, blah, de, blah. But in themselves, if I see weakness in my best mate, Dan, because he's ill or because his wife's left him, I don't view it that. I think I've answered no quickly, but I think what I meant was self-reflectively. There are silverbacks out there that see other weaker men as weak. But I think the majority of vaguely emotionally educated men probably wouldn't see that as weakness in another, but in themselves. They wouldn't want to show the vulnerability for fear of looking weak. But to who?
Yeah, because it's so deeply embedded and it's wrapped up in shame. And I think that that's a real struggle for men to have these conversations. And that's often why it's armed with humor, because that's the way that kind of people can navigate it. Whereas women don't have that with vulnerability. And that's, I think, a big part of why we're able to have these conversations more freely. We have obviously our own things, and that's often to do with like body image and how society views us as, you know, or objectifies us. So we often see our worth around beauty and looks. Whereas for men, like masculinity is so wrapped up in being strong, being the savior, having to provide. And so anything that seems like it might be weak or vulnerable is viewed as a massive flaw. And that's actually not the world we're living in anymore. But I think we're just, you know, trying to like navigate those waters. And
but it also tracks back to the reaction of one being open from the style of conversations that women and men seem to have from an early age. Again, I feel like I have to caveat everything by saying, I know it's not true for everyone, but in my experience, openness that exists between women friends allows a vulnerability to be there from the word go, because you're talking about personal, interesting things to ones, you know, in your lives as soon as that friendship begins. Whereas most friendships, you have to take a massive swerve to the left in that to go, lads, I've got to tell you something, I'm really struggling, because there has been 15 years of mocking each other, laughing and goat videos.
Yeah. Yes. I feel like that. It's not an actual video, by the way. So it is. So, but also, I mean, the most pure version of that would be crying, right? I'm not even going to waste time asking when was the last time you cried in front of your friends, because I'm guessing Kagi would have no problem getting, oh my God, what a bastard Graham's been, and cry in front of her friends. Whereas, I'm guessing Simon and I have probably never done it unless pilled, stroke, drunk off our tits and got over emotional, which doesn't count. But it's a more interesting question to ask, are you comfortable with crying on your own if you were down? Even that I don't do very often. So who the fuck am I protecting it from then?
Obviously, we are trying as a society to move away from those set roles that aren't doing anyone any good. But I believe, and as someone who's passionate about some of the science as well, we are filled with different chemicals. And Russ, you just made a joke about being, you know, off your face on whatever chemicals and suddenly you're going to cry. Well, that's sort of the point. If we had simply the estrogen and the lacking of testosterone that women have, we would, I believe, have a different slight frame of mind and be more willing to be a little bit more open with crying. I mean, it cannot just be that the lack of crying that goes on from all of me and my mates versus the huge amounts of crying. And I think it's a great thing. Obviously, it's an extra facet of this multi-dimensional emotional relationships that I think women mostly enjoy. And crying and being vulnerable is a beautiful thing. My wife cries, you know, lots, and not just because I'm with her.
Sometimes it's because you're naked as well.
Exactly. So that's them weeping, the double whammy. But I'm almost jealous of that ability to open and clear emotions and clear her brain and move on.
I'd say it's way more complex than hormones, though. I don't think that that... I think that might... You know, obviously, I don't know what it's like to be a man, but I think a huge part of that is societal. I think it's a cultural thing as well, because...
Just to say, because I don't want people thinking I think it is all hormonal. It's not. I'm saying that is a part of it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to kind of just for the conversation, like... challenge that, because I think that that's a narrative that's been pushed to make women who, you know, especially to do with their cycles, it's like, oh, is she PMSing? Like, oh, she's hormonal. Whereas men's default setting is allowed. And this is a huge problem for men, is to go to anger, when actually there's a plethora of emotion probably under the surface, but there's not been much space or encouragement to communicate those things.
But are we not, for one, I'm going to use a word that basically has no meaning now, but are we not, for want of a better phrase, now just being too woke by denying actual science? If you were to take my blood, take your blood, we have different hormones running through our bodies, which of course leads to differences in how the brain works, because the brain is bathed in those hormones. Why would we deny that?
Okay, I completely get that. And I'd have to actually, as a caveat, I don't know how much of that plays a part in our ability to be emotionally expressive. But from my own personal experience with men that I have in my life, I know that there is a deep desire to go to those spaces, but it's blocked by upbringing, by school, by family dynamics, by the workplace, by the way that they can't communicate with their friends. It's there, it's very present. And that doesn't feel to me something that's just estrogen and testosterone. It's more something that's actually not being encouraged or allowed to be expressed.
And we do inevitably fall into nature versus nurture. And you know, someone says, it's about 60% nurture, end of debate. I like that answer. 60% nurture, and everyone's happy then.
One thing to mention is, we've got that nurture because of nature. Lots of it didn't happen by accident. We started off a fairly level playing field. And so I believe that some, not all, of course, and let's do everything we can to make society, which is hideously unequal, more equal. You just have to look at women pay, the number of women who are at the top of board, all those stats. It's fucked up at the moment. But I still think there will be, even if we were to completely readjust that, I still think there is something within us that is unarguable, that gives us a slightly different mindset because of the hormones that are there.
I think because of that, though, nurture actually informs our nature, and culture informs our biology. It's true.
No, I know. We've reached the end of my IQ. We reached like the last turn off of my IQ. I ran out of road. I had too many gummies in lockdown. This is absolutely... Do you know, I feel like a splinter episode, nature versus nurture. Producer Raymond, write it down. Either one of you are welcome back. But just to get it back to curiosity, talking about inequality and inborn differences and conditioning, I feel like the elephant in the room here is, isn't it quite a cultural, class-related thing to be more curious? You know, we're like, there's so many men just crying out to impart their emotions to me in a cafe. Well, Terry the Builder probably isn't. He's fucked and couldn't give a shit. And he never is going to. I mean, he's reachable, don't get me wrong. But there is a class difference. With curiosity particularly, though, is almost like a luxury you can acquire when you've got the mental energy to have it, male or female. I don't suppose there's many teachers who've been in primary school, female teachers been involved in safeguarding during lockdown, that are curious about fucking anything except what's for dinner tonight and have I got a hot bath?
I completely agree with that. It's a privilege in itself. I would also not want to massively generalise that, you know, people in certain situations aren't wanting to explore these themes. But it's also a question of whether they...
Not won't. Can't.
But don't have the capacity to.
Can't.
Yeah.
Fucked.
Because
no,
they're just on survival mode or whatever it might be. So yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
What about social media here? What role is it? I mean, definitely more curious, bordering on nosy. I mean, there are things I'm curious about now that I was never curious about before. I mean, if Simon was to put his workout regime on, I know I would probably fucking look at it and be curious to the point of how many sit-ups is it? These are things I wouldn't have given a shit about 10 years ago unless we were sat together in a dressing room and you were like, I'm doing some workout. Do you want me to write down what I've been doing? I probably would have been interested. But it's sort of because of the ambient scrolling of things I might not be curious in going past my eye and then generating a curiosity that wasn't there. I feel like we are more curious, but not necessarily in a positive way.
Yeah, I don't know whether there's a gender difference there.
I don't think so.
Well, what's interesting, you can argue the counter of that in that what the internet and old bung social media in that originally was thought to do was allow us all to open up to every idea, every concept, every new thing, and open our minds and broaden the horizons and become amazing, brilliant people. It's actually made us closer, what our interests are, smaller and smaller, because we can find communities that are just into that sort of thing, and we don't want to hear about anything else that is against that thing. So it's actually, I wonder if, on the face of it, it's meant to make us more curious when actually it's done the opposite.
Hmm. Kagi?
I also think there are more options than ever before, and there's, you know, a plethora of things that we can explore out there, and we just have to go onto our phones to sort of view all these various things. But it's also creating, I think, a lot of unhappiness, because as human beings, we're not able to process that amount of information. We haven't caught up to that speed. So if we are given 10 options of what to do in our life versus 1,000, the people that are given 10 options are far happier than the people that are given 1,000, because our mind just doesn't work that way yet. So I think we're skimming the surface of a lot of different things we're curious about, but we're not actually able to discern what's authentic or aligned with our, you know, unique interests, because there's just so much noise out there. So it's really hard to navigate this space. And I, you know, we're living in comparison culture as well. So there's always someone that's doing it better, and it makes you constantly feel like you're falling short.
So just to, I mean, we can't answer this question categorically, as we've discovered with the nature nurture and biology and hormone debacle, but this has been studied. So let me read out both studies before you jump in. So women are less likely to ask a question than men. So an observational study conducted by the University of Cambridge looked at 250 seminars held in 35 institutions over 10 countries. The ratio of men and women was almost equal in all the seminars, and women were found to be 2.5 times less to ask a question as compared to men. But they also studied how many women had burning in questions inside that they didn't dare ask because of societal norms. So in another observational study was conducted where 303 females and 206 males from different fields and across 20 countries participated. The majority of people reported not asking a question when they had one. Women, that is. That the reasons for both men and women were different. Women rated internal factors such as, oh, I don't feel clever enough, I don't have the courage, I was worried they might misunderstand, but I might be misunderstood by the speaker. And men, these internal factors were not the reason to ask the question. They just didn't ask the question.
Because what? Why didn't men answer the question?
They didn't ask the question because they might have a question, but they're worried it might not be the right place, or that the question doesn't belong there. But women had social humiliation, internal factors. Mm-hmm. Men had external, related to where we were in the seminar.
I see from my kids, there's sadly this self-esteem, confidence, whatever you want to call it. And I wish it wasn't true, and I don't know how we can change it, but there is this seemingly female-male divide, ticking lots of boxes which would be very nice if they weren't ticked. And that is played out in that survey, in that there is, you know, the sound of our own voice, the confidence, the self-esteem, that we're going to be right, that we're brilliant, versus sometimes the opposite in place with women. And yeah, I think it's tragic to see that still happening.
But Kagi, what's at stake here isn't just like some sociology point where we get worried about girls not asking questions. If you're in politics, for example, or you're in an ad agency and you want to make loads of money, or you're a production company, you want to make the best TV program or podcast, you literally make less money and have less good outcomes if you're not getting the great questions and ideas from people whose ideas are equally as good and great, but they just didn't have the confidence to ask them. How we got around it in my agency, and this is not just a gender thing, this is also the prejudice we have against introverts versus extroverts as well, which is a totally different subject but sort of mirrors this. There was an anonymous question portal after a meeting. You didn't know who'd submitted the question. So it came from an anonymous email. So if your question was, you know, why are we approaching Vodafone for this contract? I don't feel it marries with brand X. But you thought, I better not ask that in the question because I'm an introvert, because I'm a female, because of sexism, patriarchy, whatever. You could submit it afterwards. And we had some fucking great ideas come through that portal, because people that didn't feel empowered to speak, we were losing their intellectual capital. And we need those quieter voices sometimes.
But is that really solving the issue?
It is if you're looking for intellectual capital. It's not solving the personal issue of that person feeling disempowered. But if you're sat in that meeting thinking, I know the answer to this, is we need to do like a lilac wash across the branding with an Arial font. I know that's going to sell. And then boom, you can have the confidence to submit it anonymously. You can always harvest the glory afterwards, showing it sent from your device. And that happened on many an occasion.
Yeah, but I think, you know, I think that's tragic in the sense that then that idea gets taken and then the person that actually had it never got the confidence to speak it or really get the opportunity to claim it either. So I think I'd be more interested in actually approaching that, how we can encourage women to ask those questions in the first place.
The counter to that is that the way these ideas are harvested don't suit those people. Yeah, you know, a brain, everyone's like, well, why can't women speak up in a brainstorm? They should. Well, maybe the brainstorm is the issue, not gender politics. Maybe you all sat around on couches shouting ideas out is a flawed way to exchange ideas. Maybe that's the issue. And there is a better way of doing it. I don't know. Fuck me, man. This shit's deep. Right, last question. Relationships. Are you the more curious partner in your relationship, would you say, Kagi, or not?
No, my partner is very, very curious. And, you know, it's been really interesting for me to actually have that experience with a man and see that he has just as much curiosity about the same kind of things, about personal development, you know, reading and all these books and understanding himself better. So, yeah, I'd say it's pretty balanced.
Simon, I think I know the answer to this. Unless you count being in a relationship with yourself.
I've never asked her, to be honest, so I've no idea.
Perfect. Right, that is the perfect way to end, Simon. We're out of time. Thank you. Thank you very much to Simon Brockin and Kagi Dunlop. If you've come here as fans of either of these two people, highly likely, please hang around, hit subscribe, leave a review, go back through previous episodes if you've got the curiosity to do so. Hit subscribe, leave a review. Thank you very much for listening. I've been Russell Kane. Goodbye. I'm just going to Google myself. Oh my God, I'm so hot.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.